Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. Today's guest is author duo Jada Jones and Danny Bennett. In this interview, we chat about how Jada and Danny start writing together. We also chat about Master of One, their latest YA fantasy, and more, and some book recommendations. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Jada. Hi, Danny. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
So excited to have you both here. This is so excited. So Jada goes first and then Danny. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I am a native Brooklynite and have lived in Brooklyn my entire life. I am genderqueer weirdo who loves the occult and animals, especially cats. I'm like, what else is there even relevant about me? I work for, in my day job, a nonprofit arts education program that I love a lot, and that is full of serving teenagers across the country. And that's why I love teenagers, because they're pretty great. And like, I'm like, oh, they're actually gonna save the world. So
Hi, I'm Danny. I'm from Canada originally, Victoria, which is like all the way in the Pacific Northwest. So I had no experience of like real seasons before I moved here. It was just like all one nice, mild temperature. And now, yeah, there was a reckoning when I first moved to New York, and it was like very cold winter, very hot and humid summers. And I was just like, what's happening?
I know. I lived in New York for 14 years, so I feel the pain of, like, you know, the hot, humid summers where you're just walking and you feel like you're walking the streets and you feel like the humidity just, like, catches up with you and you're just, like, dying from it.
Yeah. It's too much. She was very excited. Danny was really excited. She's like, yay, it's like, I'm going to finally have a nice hot summer. And I was like, no. You're not excited.
No, it's not. So I moved to Chicago, pre-pandemic, 2 weeks before the pandemic. And so I actually, which is like, so the benefit of Chicago is the summers are really nice. So, but I couldn't enjoy it because we're in the pandemic, but the summers are really nice. So I didn't get to do, I'm not looking forward to the winters, like for sure. Like, that's one thing I'm not looking forward to.
It's going to be cold.
It is going to be really, really cold. So, but yeah, like that's one thing. I love New York. I love New York in December. I have to tell you, that's like my favorite season where it's like snowing, the lights are out, the stores are all decorated. It's the best.
So. Yeah. And you just like feel it because everyone gives New York a super bad rap, like that, you know, we're all like not very nice, and it's true, like everybody sort of sticks to their own little world, but like in December in New York, it's like a magical time. It's wild. Like you're like, oh, suddenly we're all like friendly and nice.
Yes. It is so magical. So how did you come together? How did you guys meet?
Sure, I'll answer. We met on LiveJournal. So we met, like, when was it, in like 2006, 2007, on LiveJournal. So it was like back in the day when like meeting someone online wasn't a normal thing. And so it was like, people would be like, how did you meet? And it was like, oh, we met online, and you get a lot of weird stares. Now it's totally normal. Like everyone does it. But back then it was like, no, like I know that Danny is real. She's a real person. We have conversations on the phone. Yeah, we met online talking about like fan fiction and various stories that we really liked and tropes that we liked, and pretty much started writing together from that basis. Fell in love writing together, and then she moved on out to live in New York with me. like we're both Sagittarians, so like we just like commit wholeheartedly. We're like, okay, we're doing this. Like maybe it's not planned out, but we're gonna do it. And so she like flew, like moved across the continent and to another country, and so that we could write together in person.
I love this. And so, what kind of fan fiction did you start out?
So, I mean, I really wrote for anything and everything. Like, I was just like a crazed, voracious writer. I, you know, this was like the age of when Harry Potter was the big thing, and like my issue with Harry Potter was that there really wasn't like queer representation in those pages. So that was what I was sort of seeking to create for myself.
Yeah. And I think related to that, and what I ended up being my own interest sort of in the fan fiction realm was I was reading a lot of Harry Potter, but also Lord of the Rings. And I feel like that I also really craved like more female characters, or like someone that I could like relate to and see myself in. And I feel like that was not necessarily like lacking in the fantasy, but sort of lacking in a lot of the fantasy that I was reading at that time. So that was, yeah, what sort of drew me to like these fan generated or fan made stories were like, yeah, there were all these different exciting narratives that had been hinted at being possible in the actual text.
I love this. Yeah, I'm always fascinated with fan fiction and like how many writers come from that world, like, you know, and they create, they have a community, like you just do, and it's a whole different ballgame because you're writing for an audience, and so you have to keep the audience engaged.
That's what I love too, and that's what I honestly like miss in writing original stuff, is that like with fan fiction, you know, you post like it chapter by chapter or like section by section, and people are commenting and interacting with you, and it becomes like this community experience as opposed to something you're doing alone. And obviously like I write with a writing partner always, cause like, I just don't like to be alone during that bit. Like I like to have that element of excitement and external input that changes what it is I'm preparing for. And then I have to be like, ooh, wait, that's a great idea. Like, how do I do that next? So
how do you write like as a partner, as a duo? Like, do you outline, do you share like stories, like share work, or do you split it into POVs? Like, what's the process like?
So we usually write from a few different characters' POVs, but we both write for everyone's POV.
We're not like simple. We don't like be like, you take this character, I'll take this character.
I feel like that would be less complicated.
But it's not. That's not how we do it.
Yeah. So usually Jada will start. She's like the idea person. Usually she'll have like a good idea and she'll be like, this is how it should start. And so she'll write maybe like the beginning of something, and then she'll send it to me, and I'll just like pick up from where she left off, basically.
Yeah, it's like a volley. It's kind of like a game of like word tennis. Not that I know how to play tennis, but like it's like just bapping it back and forth. Usually we'll like write like a page to two pages each. Or in my case, like I'll write until I feel stuck, and then I'm like, your problem, and pass it on. And then she'll like, Danny will find a way to solve the problem that I wrote myself into. And we just pass it back and forth in that way. We usually do try to at least plan a little tiny bit in advance in terms of like, okay, in this chapter, like, what is it we're trying, like, how are we moving the plot here? Like, what's getting, what information are we learning? What's happening? And we sometimes talk that out in advance just to get like a general sense of like where we think we're going, where we want to go, where we want to move the manuscript. But with a first draft, it's usually like as fast as possible, like keep the momentum going, keep the excitement going, and worry about fixing everything in round two.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's like you want to write fast and just write fast and dirty and just get it out of the way. And then you can go back and be like, okay, what makes sense? What can stick? What doesn't work? You know, what characters?
Yeah.
A little bit more refinement, or which twists we need to figure out, put it in. So yeah,
that's really true. Yeah, it's I always like have to remind myself of that at the very beginning, because every time we start a new project, I'm always telling myself this will be the one where like we get it right in the first draft, and then like 50 pages in, I'm like, oh right, getting it right in the first draft is not possible for us mere mortals. So let me just let go of that dream for now.
Yeah. So let's see. What was your journey to get that first book published?
Yeah. So it's actually funny. Like our experience with getting our very first book published was very different from our experience like publishing our first, this is our first young adult like fantasy. Mm-hmm. And so that these were like two totally different experiences. I feel like our first book, we kind of sort of just got extremely lucky, like at the right moment in time. A lot of things sort of fell into place. And I feel like it definitely did not give me an appreciation for like how difficult it could be going forward.
But now we definitely have an appreciation for how difficult it can be, because like, you know, we love young adult fantasy, and that was sort of always like what we wanted to write. But actually getting there, it was like, a nice solid like 5+ years of just like endless rejections where you're like, will this actually, will we ever sell a book? But ultimately, yeah, our amazing editor, Alice, took a chance, like saw what we wanted this book to be when it was in its first, you know, or not really first draft, but like in its third or fourth draft and was on submission. She like saw what it needed to be, but wasn't quite yet, and like took that risk and invested in us, which we're really, really grateful for, because then like with her guide, with her guidance, with her editorial notes, we were like, oh yeah, like we do see now what this book can be. And it like really opened up the world for us.
Let's talk about YA fantasy, because that's just the whole ball game. There's world building, there's characters, there's action, it's a very structure, it's a very challenging, you know, yeah. Genre, like, because you gotta think all these elements and put them together in one story or a series of books, you know, like, and you have to keep the reader engaged with them. So What draw you to the genre first, and then what do you hope your readers will get from this book based on, you know, most YA fantasy, you know, like lovers?
Yeah. Well, I think what draws me to YA fantasy is sort of how the universal thing that I tend to like about all my favorite YA fantasy stories is there's this like state of being where these young people are like growing and changing in all these really interesting ways. And it feels like young adulthood and being like a teenager feels like a very magical thing in and of itself, because it's like you're transforming and becoming like this whole other thing. And I like that metaphor, like coupled with like actual magic and like actual transformations. I feel like, yeah, that's really fun. That's my favorite place to be.
It's a great spot. And I guess for me, like I have always been this crazed avid devourer of whatever was on like the YA fantasy shelf, like in any library or bookstore that I went into, I would like go directly toward that and be like, okay, what haven't I read yet? And like pull it down and read it and, you know, read it real fast and just get lost in that world. But for me, what I never saw in that genre were like any queer characters, like, or characters with chronic pain disabilities, which is also something that I have and that I deal with, you know. So it was hard for me to reconcile like who I was with the stories that I loved to read, and not getting that representation, like that really harmed me, I feel like, as a kid, because when I was younger, you know, I wanted these amazing, glorious romances. The only frame of reference that I had for those were heterosexual romances. Like I had there was nothing queer in them. So I was like, well, I want a romance, and this is what romance looks like. There's a boy and a girl, and that must be what I want. And it like took a lot of years of like undoing that in my brain to realize like, oh no, actually like there can be these fantasy adventures like for people like me as well. Maybe they're not up on the shelves at, you know, back in the 90s when like, which was when I was reading everything. But so that's like been my crusade forever, I guess, or like since like realizing that I was actually a queer person and who just did not have the representation as a younger person, as a young reader, to like know that.
Yeah, I love the fact that we're getting more and more. And so 2020, the landscape looks very different. And I hope that in 2024, it looks even more different, you know, that is more own voices, that is more queer, that is more diverse, you know, that we get to see all these different voices. Because it makes an impact when you see yourself in a book and you see yourself, your experience, or see a character going through a fantasy adventure and then they're queer or they're struggling with chronic pain or they're Latino or they're like whatever it is, like it just gives you, like it opens up the world, you know, for readers.
And it's always like been so weird to me that I'm like, I was reading about like dragons and elves and like orcs and whatever monsters, but like that was okay to imagine, but like same-sex couples or like any kind of like real representation, like that never made it in there. So it was like a weird thing where it's like dragons are actually like more acceptable than like a gay person. Like what? Like so it messes with your head, you know? Like,
well, I think it's like the same goes with vampires, like, you know, like all the obsession with vampires, like vampires, and you're like, what if there's vampire and a man, or what if there's two female, like what if it's that, like what would happen? Exactly. You
know? Yeah, it's the exact.
So it's just, you know, that's something that I always want to see, because there, you know, as more and more actual representation happened in young adult fiction, which is like amazing. And it's really like, it makes me cry every time I see it. Like I really do get deeply moved that there are all of these options. But what I don't see as much is representation in genre fiction. So usually like, it's like a queer contemporary, but I'm like, no, like give my gays some swords and let them save the world.
Yes, I feel you. I read a lot of romance. Like that's actually the genre that I read. And so I have to tell you, like there's some queer paranormal, but there's not a lot of it. And I'm like, where is it? Like,
where is it? Exactly. I'm like, come on.
You know, you're like, okay, where is it? And like, there's some people up and coming authors doing great work, but I'm like, we need more.
You always need more. That's the thing too. But it's like, you have so much to choose from if you're like a straight person who enjoys a straight romance, but you don't have that much to choose from if you're a queer person looking for more than just a handful of titles. So I'm like, that's the hill I'll die on any day.
That sounds good. So let's talk about Master of One. Let's talk about what's the source of inspiration, what it was like to build a world and build this adventure that you just created.
Well, so Master of One kind of came about, we were watching the Netflix reboot of the Voltron animated series. And it kind of reminded us of all these shows that we had watched in our youth, where it's like there's like a team of like young people and they each like pilot like a big robot, and then the robots all join together and like be one big super robot. And so we thought, you know, we really love those kinds of stories, but we've never really seen that concept done in a fantasy setting.
As opposed to like hard sci-fi.
Right. And that was sort of the initial, I guess, like spark of an idea for Master of One. And then sort of like while that was happening, I got diagnosed with breast cancer. We realized I had breast cancer. So that was
It's fun time to like realize, to learn that you have breast cancer at like 28. Like what the hell? Like
I was like, no, this doesn't seem right.
This is
like,
not what I anticipated.
Yeah, this is not good.
Right. So then like Master of One was like very much like our escapism project. We were like, we're just gonna write like everything that we love and all our favorite tropes and just like yum 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 comfort food for ourselves.
Yeah, so exactly. Speaking of your favorite tropes, what are some of your favorite tropes to write? Oh, what are some of your favorite tropes to read also? Because I'm always curious.
Oh, like yeah. Enemies to lovers, but also like childhood friends to enemies to lovers. Because yes. I think that's such a specific one that always gets us good. And like queer found family or found family in general, where like, you know, people find each other and like create that acceptance, that world of acceptance for themselves amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. Teams, as Danny had mentioned, like any kind of like team situation, it's just so much fun because the dynamics are always like so much fun to play around with. What else am I missing?
This is also like, I feel like this is very specific and I'm like, maybe this is just something I like and not necessarily a trope, but I love like the idea of like knights and people like swearing service to like a cause or like a person that they're really devoted to. I'm like, that's my favorite
thing. Yeah, devotion, sure. Like, yeah, those are good. And and what else do we love? I also really, as evidenced by like everything we've ever published, like I'm just super into like familiars and like not necessarily like artificial intelligence, but like that liminal creature where it's like, is this like a natural thing? Is it like magic that animates this creature to have more intelligence than it like you would expect? I just love, because we have a lot of cats and like I love cats and I love animals in general, animal companions. So like familiars are, anytime there's a familiar, I'm like, yes. Sassy animal that like you're like, yes, that is exactly how like a cat would talk. Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah, talking animals is a big one.
Yeah.
I love this. So let's see, what are some of your upcoming projects?
So right now we have like a few less formed ideas that we're sort of working on editing and like molding into shape. Mm-hmm. We have like some ideas for a sequel to Master of One or maybe like companion books set in the same world, so we're really hoping that we'll get a chance to tell those stories, because we're so,
because once you've done all the world building, then it's like, then you get to have
Honestly, I'm a serious venture. So honestly, I was like, okay, is she going to tell me that there's going to be another book? Because I was like, you build a world and you meet your characters. And even though you follow different characters in a companion novel, you want to go back to your friends. It's like,
that's exactly it. I'm like, I'm never ready for the like a book to end or a series to end when I'm reading. And when I'm writing, it's even more pathological. I'm like, no, these are my pals. Like, I want to visit them again or else I'm going to miss them.
Yes. Like it's one of those things. I was like, I just want to like binge and sit down and just get lost in a world and then see my friends and then see them grow up and then see them more.
Exactly. See them grow up. That's a huge thing. It's like, yeah, I always want to know what happens next. I guess that comes from like loving fan fiction so much and having written it so much as a younger person that like I'm always like, okay, but what happens next though?
Yeah. Yes. So, well, fingers crossed,
yeah. We're crossing fingers, toes, whatever we can cross.
I will tell your publicist, I'm like, I would like to see book two, you know, right. You know, so, and anyone who's listening who has read a book, be like, okay, we would like to see the next book.
Exactly. Yes, we want, we have like so many fun ideas for the world and so many other like new characters that we want to introduce that we're just like, let's do it.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. It's an opportunity to share with the audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre? And Danny can go first.
Yeah. Okay. So I tend to read a lot of thrillers and mysteries in sort of my spare time. So one book that I really liked recently was Grown by Tiffany Jackson. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really good. And I read it in like one day.
It was amazing. I looked over her and I was like, you just started that book. And she's like more than halfway through, just flipping the pages, devouring it. It was great.
I like a mystery. It really sucks me in and keeps me like, I gotta know. I have to know the answer. And I'm also, I feel like not very good at telling mysteries myself. I never guess the mystery when I'm reading them. So it's like a pure reader experience for me.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Whereas I'm always like, okay, it was this person. And Danny's like, oh no, now you've ruined it for me because it's going to be that person. Like, yeah, I've been really impressed by Danny's ability to read this year. This has been a year in which I have not read that much, like, because my concentration is just shattered. Like, it's in a million pieces and picking it all up and putting it back together is going to be difficult. But there are definitely some books that are like coming out that I'm super excited for. I'm really excited for Ruin Song, which is coming out, I think, next week. I think November 17th, but I'm not sure. And it looks really great and it has queer rep and it's fantasy. And I'm like, yes, I'm there. Like, I'll buy it. Yes, I can't wait. And a purple cover, and purple is my favorite color. So I'm just like, it's clearly meant for me. I can't wait for this.
I love this. So tell us where you can find you online.
You can find us at our website, which is jonesandbennett.com. And
I'm on Instagram pretty much 24/7, to the point where, you know, my phone is telling me like, you should spend less time on Instagram. And I'm like,
yeah, me too.
But I'm there all the time. And I'm Lady Jada, L-A-D-Y, J-A-I-D-U-H. And Danny is there slightly less, but she is there. She is Thremedon, T-H-R-E-M-E-D-O-N. And we're also on Twitter at Jones and Bennett, but I like Instagram better. Sorry, Twitter.
That's okay. I feel like Instagram is a little bit of an easier space. There's pretty pictures. There's just like,
exactly.
I don't know. It just feels like more welcoming in some ways. Twitter feels like it's just a conversation happening on and on and on. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Twitter is very intimidating. Whereas like Instagram, it's like, okay, here's a picture of my cat. Here's a picture of your cat. Like, we're friends now.
Yes. Here's a picture of a book and here's another picture of like
exactly. So it's perfect.
Yeah, it's all good. So, well, thank you, Jada, and thank you, Danny, for being on the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having us. This was so much fun.
Yeah, we had so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTOREAD10 to save. Visit whatyourextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.